Yes, Alfred?
To the bat phone, sir.
Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
It's Batman!
I can talk. Now you sound like the dum-dum.
Yes, welcome to Batmania 66, everybody. Tonight's episode is episode 90-something. 94, I think. It's called The Duo Defies.
It's called The Last Episode of Season 7.
Or 2.
Fix it in post.
Do you want to try that again?
Nope.
All right, we're good. So
it felt like 7 seasons.
No, this episode felt like it was 7 seasons long.
Also that.
When our episode begins. Oh, wait. I'm sorry.
We have a Val here.
We have a Val guest.
Also, I'm here.
Yeah, nobody cares about Holly.
It's also true.
You have to introduce me as Valfred.
Yes, oh, yes. Valfred.
We have Valfred Pennyworth here.
Thank you. It's good, very good.
And a sweet whiny dog in the backyard. She's lovely, but she wants to be on the podcast.
But she has no human vocal.
But she can whine, just like we're about to do about this episode.
True.
It goes with the theme of this evening.
So, Valerie, as our guest, would you please tell us who our villain was and what the villainous plot of the episode was?
I'm trying to decide if it was Mr. Freeze or if it was Geisha Glaze.
Glacia Glaze.
I prefer Geisha.
She's made her decision.
I have.
I once made some geisha glaze.
And I can't.
I don't like any of it, Ben.
Holly's giving me a look that is equal parts disgust and equal parts, oh, you.
I feel like that's my always face at you.
Yeah, I don't feel like that's unusual at all.
No.
When our episode begins, Batman and Robin are inside a... Oh, God, what the hell was it?
I don't know. I don't have my notebook from last time.
Oh, no. They are about to be frozen and then vaporized into the Bruce Wayne ice rink.
Thank you, do.
Yes. And when the freezing chamber frosts over completely, then it will be time to vaporize them.
When you can conveniently not see into the machine anymore.
Yes.
Then we get to vaporize them.
Yes.
Vaporize.
By the way, Batman makes sure that Robin has taken his reverse thermal bat lozenge.
Yep.
Which is a thing.
That everyone talks about all the time.
Oh, yeah. Well, when I'm going out into the cold, I always take my reverse thermal lozenge.
It's a reverse Ben thermal lozenge.
Just like I use my Ben pontoons when I take my Ben-copter out. And
Ben pontoons?
Yes.
It's really cool when you do it with my name.
Holly pontoons?
No, the other one.
Oh, Hollycopter?
A Hollycopter!
I think your amateur detective name is definitely Holly pontoons. All right, everybody. Holly pontoons is on the case.
My children's detective novels. Is that what I sound like to you?
When you're solving mysteries, yes.
So, like, all the time.
Uh-huh. Because then it becomes annoying, and then it becomes funny again. And then I win! Then Batman and Robin have shower sex in the frosted tube.
No, that's a Holly quote, actually. That's not... I know that sounds like a Ben quote.
I know. It reeked of a Ben quote.
Totally Holly. That was me explaining one of my favorite jokes.
So, Holly likes the whale joke. Two whales walk into a bar, and one whale says to the other whale,
"You're telling this joke? Do the whale noise."
No, I don't speak whale as well as you do, Holly.
No one speaks whale as well as I do.
So, sure, one whale says to the other whale,
"Boo! Boo! 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 Boo!
And the other whale says, "Man, you are wasted."
I usually do it a lot longer, and that's where the, you do it, it's funny, right. It stops getting funny, it gets funny again, yeah. And just as that's ending, you end it.
Right.
And then you win.
Right, and the longer you do it, the longer the sizzle is.
It's great. Which it had me dubbing Holly a supervillain of the mundane.
I proudly accept this. Oh, can we put those on my next business card?
Supervillain of the mundane?
Yes.
I'm down.
Yes.
So Batman and Robin...
And with my specific email.
The tube frosts over, and then it looks like Batman and Robin are having shower sex. Because we all we see is Robin's hand pressed against the frosted
That's
window.
That's only like Rose and Titanic. Yeah,
only because Titanic has made any hand on a window seem sexual to all of us.
Right. I got your hand on a window right here.
And it's sweaty.
A little bit.
I also am sweaty.
It's sweaty day.
Anybody, I wonder if our listening audience can hear the dog slamming itself against the sliding glass door.
They remember.
They live.
No, it's a raptor joke.
It's a what?
It's a velociraptor.
Right. Clever girl.
Yes.
Don't move or they can see you run.
Here, Batman and... Oh, this is where I wrote, you're overdoing it, Eli. Because Eli Wallach was chewing every bit of scenery all of the ways.
What are you talking about? It was totally realistic.
Totally realistic.
Sorry, turning on the light for the doggy so she's not quite as alone.
I don't think
she
did it.
She can see the window she's running into.
Well, right. It's helpful. Oh, what did I write? Oh. Batman and Robin appear to have been vaporized in a split second that takes at least 10.
Vaporized.
Yes.
Vaporized.
And they then go to check on the scientist who I had completely forgotten about.
No, he was in the freezer after getting...
Yeah.
What's it called?
Dry ice injected into his veins.
I still think that kills you, Ben.
Oh, yeah. Well, they
this
say...
Is the plot?
Yes.
Yeah, that all happened.
Oh.
They go to check on the scientist who is in the freezer at 200 degrees below.
Also, you're
He'd
dead.
Be dead.
Yeah.
And then they suggest that they're going to inject him again with dry ice, and to which I wrote, extra dead.
Super dead. So many deads.
This is where we find out that Bruce Wayne and Harriet Cooper went to visit Glacia Glaze before the performance.
We knew that they did that.
Yeah, but I mean, this is when she explains it to Mr. Freeze.
Oh, yeah, and then he finds out.
And he figures out that Bruce Wayne's no dummy, and he must have realized that they were hiding underneath, and that would lead the police straight to them. Also, they think Batman and Robin are dead, yet they keep trying to involve Batman and Robin into their crimes and things like that throughout the episode. Like, they don't really remember that they killed them.
It's just the henchmen, I think, that forget.
Gotcha.
Also because they're union, so they know what's up.
This is when Mr. Freeze decides that they have to abandon their hideout, and they can't wait for Isolde, their seal, to find their way back. So they leave the seal behind.
Poor seal. No seal left behind.
Who is in police headquarters in a bathtub.
Yeah.
Because they have bathtubs at the police headquarters.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we then, after they leave, we see Batman and Robin appear in the seal pen. And...
like a fantastic magic trick.
Yes. And they explain that they escaped through an emergency hatch right behind the chamber. The freezing chamber. And then we get Batman calling Glacia Emma Strunk, and we get endless repetition of, you mean Glacia Glaze? No, Emma Strunk. You mean Glacia Glaze? No, Emma Strunk. Over and over and over again, until Batman explains that Glacia Glaze is too pretty a name for a high society person, so he name shames Emma's real name.
Okay.
Emma Strunk is her real name.
No, I caught that. I didn't get why.
Because she deserves an ugly name because she's an ugly person for partnering with Mr. Freeze.
I understand now. And I agree.
This is where we now cut to Mr. Freeze in his glacier hideout in Gotham Harbor, more glaciers have joined his original glacier because he's used his ice magnets to attract the ice. That's not how ice or magnets work. At all.
It's how ice magnets work, though.
Oh, well. Well, that's a good point, I suppose. And he's finally frozen the professor to the point where the professor is willing to tell him the formula. The professor writes it down as much as he can. And while looking at it, Mr. Freeze realizes, oh yeah, I'm apparently not a scientist, and asks the guy how it works, and the scientist tells him, and I quote, I worked out the formula, but I never did work out how it works.
Yeah. Perfect so sense.
That's, I think that's gibberish.
No, that makes perfect sense all the time.
So my formula is perfectly correct, I just don't know how it works.
Yeah.
So, in that case, I've figured out the formula for turning lead into gold.
Yes.
I just don't know how it works yet.
No.
Okay. This is where Mr. Freeze starts bragging about how he's going to take over with this formula, and that he will control cold cream and cold wars.
None of that makes any sense.
Not even a little bit. And that there'll be ice dripping from Glacia's ears. And she goes, as in diamonds? And he goes, no, as in ice. Like icing, as in frosting on the cake. And the cake will be the whole universe.
I don't understand.
I think Mr. Freeze has a problem with stream of consciousness. Like, he's maybe got ADD because he's kind of free associating and not really thinking.
None of it makes any sense.
Okay.
She wanted me to watch her play with her balls.
Valerie went to check on the puppy.
I thought it'd be kind of funny if, like, you left and we just never acknowledged it on the podcast.
Yeah. We just went silent all of a sudden.
Yeah, just.
And then we just took a picture of a cobweb-covered skeleton sitting in the chair. So we find out that we cut to Commissioner Gordon getting a call from the governor, who sounds like a parent from Peanuts.
Who?
Commissioner
Gordon. On the other end of the phone? I missed it this time.
Yes. It was the governor. And we find out that the president went to make a speech that morning, and his speech on the teleprompter was frozen. And in its place was a message from Mr. Freeze, which Commissioner Gordon goes, must have been some sort of thermodynamic ice beam weapon.
When did he get so good at this guy crap?
I don't know. But, they explain that no demands have been made, but Mr. Freeze has promised a demonstration of the weapon before any demands will be made. And, Commissioner Gordon goes, or sorry, not Commissioner Gordon, Chief O'Hara asks, how will we take care of this? And Commissioner Gordon says, in so many words, the solution, as always, is, quote, not us.
Anyone else?
Yeah, this is a job for somebody else.
Yes.
excuse me. Mr. Freeze uses the thermodynamic ice ray beam to partially freeze Gotham. And as they're talking about all the different things that are frozen, frozen assets inside a bank, and then my personal favorite, frozen pipes. And it's not a picture of plumbing. It's a picture of a tobacconist.
Yeah.
I actually liked that joke. I thought that was cute.
Perfect sense.
It was clever. This is where Batman and Robin, who have been radio silent, call in to Commissioner Gordon and say, sorry, we didn't check in. But do you still have that seal? Who is apparently flipping away happily in the tub at police headquarters.
Yeah.
And Batman says, release the seal. At which point, Batman and Robin take to the Batcopter to go ahead and follow the seal.
Mm-hmm.
And they follow the seal all the way to Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And the harbor. And the narrator, in talking about They cut to the hideout, and the narrator, in talking about Mr. Freeze's men, refers to them as frosty flunkies.
Yeah.
I wouldn't buy that cereal.
No.
So they're talking about the fact that how are they going to get their ransom money and their $50 million?
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Freeze says, $50 million is nothing to sneeze at, but I don't get colds.
Yeah. Perfect sense.
Comedy. And one of the henchmen says, we'll have Batman deliver it.
Totally forgot he was dead.
Yeah. And that's when he says, I guess we can call them the vaporized vanquishers.
Yes, the vaporized vanquishers.
Yes, I wrote that too. And Mr. Freeze is super proud of himself, super proud of the henchmen.
Henchmen. He needed a second. That's really clever. He needed a second to digest it, though.
Meanwhile, Commissioner Gordon and Chief O'Hara, or Commissioner Gordon, sorry, is trying to get the Coast Guard to use an ice cutter to get through all the icebergs to the real hideout. And when he finds out that the Coast Guard does not have one at the ready, he tells them to find one, put your finger on one, I don't care where.
Yep.
That doesn't sound dirty at all.
Yeah, nope. Just a little bit dirty.
A lot.
And then
filthy.
Chief O'Hara comes in wearing a parka, which he calls a parker.
Yeah, because Irish people.
And then Commissioner Gordon corrects him and starts bickering with him. And I just wrote down, are they a couple?
Yes.
Because they are acting like actually kind of a charming gay couple in this particular episode.
Yeah.
We cut back to Mr. Freeze's lair. Mr. Freeze is still gloating. He sees the Batcopter, and he's going to try and take it down. But Batman and Robin come in through the two ladders that are in the back of the hideout. The scientist immediately goes, freedom, and just runs up the ladder.
Yeah.
To nowhere.
Nowhere.
And Batman and Robin start the onomatopoeia fight.
I have a couple questions.
Is it an onomatopoeia pissing contest?
Wow. Mm-hmm. Val just asked if it was an onomatopoeia pissing contest.
I think we all know the answer.
No.
I liked it, Val.
I know you did. I liked it, too.
Don't golden shower her with praise.
I can do what I want.
Right.
No, I have questions.
Yes?
Where does he keep the, Batcopter?
In his utility belt.
Ben, that doesn't make any sense.
Is that also where he keeps the bat fish pocket?
Yes. oof. Fish pocket. Biff. Splat, wham, sock.
Meanwhile, during this particular...
Also, when Chief O'Hara is wearing his...
Parker.
Commissioner Gordon calls him Nanook.
Yes.
That's, like, really...
Racist.
Super... I wrote, wow, Nanook. Racist,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. First Nation people do not appreciate that.
Yeah.
I was about to take the fact that I actually refer to them as First Nation and then go really racist with it, because I was about to say that's what Canadians call Eskimos.
That's awful.
Yes.
I didn't laugh at that.
No, that was me imitating Holly laughing at that.
No, I didn't laugh.
Where we go? Oh, during the fight, Mr. Freeze yells, put him on ice! Ice!
Yeah.
Okay. Eli, I love you, baby. You're a brilliant actor. But wow. Just cool it. Sorry. Ben. Ease off. My bad.
Ben.
They also, in the midst of this fight, use a bear that they have used in at least one episode before and use it as the same attack that they have in at least one episode before by rolling it at Robin.
Yeah, that's how you most effectively use a stuffed polar bear in an attack.
Well, yeah. Well, they're just exercising their right to bear arms. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Batman and Robin win the fight.
Like they do.
And we then cut to Aunt Harriet, who has made... Bruce and Dick a rumpus room with a slot car track, and Alfred, Harriet, Bruce, and Dick are all playing slot cars, and Aunt Harriet then goes on to explain every single thing that has happened in the last 47 minutes of Batman and Robin, or Batman 66. Without stopping, without mercy. And my note on this particular moment is, end it. End the episode. Just end it. All in caps, because she won't stop talking.
My last note on this episode is, I am angry now.
Well, hopefully Holly's anger will subside as we move towards season three.
Season three!
Season three is going to have Batgirl for us.
Hooray!
And we will join... if you want to get a hold of us, you can find us at Batmania66 on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. If you want to mail us, you can email us at batmania66mail@gmail.com, or you can email Holly at Julie Taymor, Bono and the Edge at gmail.com. And you can find us again next time, same bat time, same bat channel.
Bye.